And then he turned toward the woman and looked at the woman, but still speaking to Simon, and said, "Simon, when I came in here, you did not give me water to wipe my feet, but this woman has not stopped washing my feet with her tears. And Simon, you did not give me a kiss when I came in, but she has not stopped kissing my feet. And Simon, you didn't give me any oil for my head when I came in, but she has poured perfume all over me." And he says, "Simon, therefore, I tell you this. Her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little." And then he gives his full attention to the woman and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Now the other guests sitting at the table, who by now all conversation we know has ceased, said to themselves, "Who is this man who can forgive sins?" And Jesus turns to the woman, ignoring all the chat. He says, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And this is the word of the Lord. I love this story. Don't you love this story? I love this story. A lot of things can make us cry. Cry when you slam your thumb with a hammer. Or as I did years ago, got my thumb stuck in the rat trap. I cry. What are some of the other things that make you cry?
Graduations and weddings.
Graduations and weddings can make you cry.
Certain music
can make you cry. Heck, Louise and I can watch commercials on the television in a week. Those little children, right, with their bloated bellies. What else makes us cry?
Remembering the loss of a loved one.
Remembering. Absolutely.
Sad things
will make us cry. Like death and going away. But happy things can make us cry. Right? When the soldier comes home. Romantic movies can make us cry. Dicing onions can make us cry. Frederick Buchner, who says things much better than I, said this. He says, "You never know what may cause them. The tears. The sight of the Atlantic Ocean can do it. Or a piece of music. Or a face you've never seen before. A pair of somebody's old shoes can do it. Almost any movie made before the great sadness that came over the world after the Second World War. A horse cantering across a meadow. The high school basketball team running out onto the gym floor to start the game. You can never be sure. But of this you can be sure. Whenever you find tears in your eyes, especially unexpected tears, it is well to pay close attention." Isn't that true? When you find yourself tearing up, particularly at unexpected times or places, pay attention. And this is a rhetorical question, not to be answered in public. But what makes you cry? You know, tears are intensely private, though they often come unbidden in public. What makes you well up with tears? Oh, we haven't even mentioned what we call crocodile tears. J. chuckle when you see those. I was spending, a couple weeks ago, they're spending, you know, 8 days with little Destiny, who will be 2 in July. She's got crocodile tears. You know what I mean by those, right? You know, she doesn't like what she's getting. She doesn't have words to put on it. Boom, there are those tears, and they're big, and they fall off the face, and you thought you had just, you know, killed her best cat. You know, and then you offer a lollipop, and they're gone. Within 20 seconds. Crocodile tears. Some people will tell you they never cry. Either their life is charmed, or they are disconnected with the reality of their own lives. I don't know. Show me someone who never cries, and I will show you someone who is probably flatlined emotionally. To keep safe from the dark emotions, you have to keep, you know, you have to end up disconnecting yourself from the happy ones as well. That's not anything I recommend. But take a look at this sinful woman. This sinful woman cries. We know so little about her. We don't even know her name. We don't know the nature of her sin, although we can certainly imply it. We don't know anything about her, but we know she cries. And that seems enough. Buchan says they are not only telling you the tears, they are not only telling you about the secret of who you are, but more often than not, God is speaking to you through the tears of the mystery of where you have come from and is summoning to you where you should go next. Tears do tell us a lot about ourselves. And they tell other people, but mostly they're for us. To tell us about ourselves and the state of our own soul and what's going on in our own lives and where God might want to take us next. So when they do come, it is good to sit up and to pay attention. That you're about, if you're willing, to learn something really important. I've been reading through a book called What is Your God Language? In fact, I was just speaking with it at the reunion last night. What is Your God Language? And I haven't finished it yet. But it's kind of like a temperament survey. Kind of about how you not relate to other people, but how you relate to God. And recognizing that different people relate to God in different ways. And that all ways are wonderful. But that different people are different. And so I got to a chapter in these kind of different descriptions of these different temperaments and ways of relating to God. And I got to this chapter. And all of a sudden, I find myself writing in the margin, I'm crying. Or, I'm really crying now. And I just had to stop and kind of reread that chapter and go, what was going on that in that reading, I was finding myself getting really emotional and discovering that, oh my gosh, I'm seeing my own life in print right here that somebody else wrote. This person's writing about me and about my walk with God and what my walk with God is like. And I don't know about you, but so often our lives with God seem so private that, you know, certainly nobody else is feeling exactly what I'm feeling. Or, you know, maybe my relationship with God is different than everybody else's relationship with God. You know, I'm just not so sure, and it doesn't look like this person, it doesn't look like this person's, and boy, to see it in print and to be affirmed, I said, oh my gosh, that's what my life is like, that's who I am. And so I realized I was crying, not tears of sorrow, but tears of like affirmation, oh my gosh, really? Now I know a little bit more about who I was. It was actually wonderfully, wonderfully affirming, but a little bit disturbing when all of a sudden you find yourself reading a theology book and crying, not normal. So pay attention to those tears. And you have to wonder, when the sinful woman showed up, was she expecting to cry? Did she go, oh, I'm going to Simon's house today, and I'm going to cry on this stranger's feet? You think she went with that agenda? I don't think so. I don't think so. It happened. It just happened. Do you ever find that you are tearing up, or you're crying, but you don't have any words for what's happening, you only have tears? That's what was happening for this woman. She didn't have any words. She never said a word. Or at least there's not one recorded word. There's just tears. Do you ever find yourself in tears with no words to describe? That's what happened to her. These words here are from the 11th century. 11th century, describing the sinful woman. Geoffrey of Vendôme, whoever he is, wrote this in the 11th century. We do not read that she spoke, but that she wept. And nevertheless, we believe that she spoke in a better way, but with tears rather than words. In fact, speaking with tears is very fruitful in the sight of God. While a woman maintained silence with her mouth, tears did her work. And while her tongue was silent, her tears were confessing and supplicating better and in a more useful way. For this reason, while weeping, the holy sinner kept quiet, lest the Lord accuse her of saying too little about the evil she had done. In all cases, prayers expressed by tears are better than those expressed by words. And I wanted just to share that with you to affirm, you know, sometimes you want to pray and you don't even know what to pray about. You don't have any words, you just have this anguish. You know, there's a situation happening in your life or in your family, and it's just heavy in your heart, but you really can't articulate it. And you certainly don't know what you want to tell the Lord to do about that situation. All you have is that emotion and those tears. And my word for you today is God gets it. Now, sometimes it may be helpful for you to be able to put it into words, but God already gets it. God knows. And those tears, that weeping, those emotions, really can be our prayers. God doesn't need us to form our tears into words. And sometimes our tears are more sincere than the words that we might have come up with, because those are already, tears are raw. Words already have gone through a filter of acceptability. Even when we don't understand ourselves, God knows what our tears mean. And so I encourage you, what are those things that are locked within you? Go ahead and cry them out to the Lord. And while you usually can't do them on demand, you can't usually cry on demand unless they're crocodile tears. I do, you know, I just refer you to allow those things to happen, to make them an offering to God. I recently, when I was away there in Michigan, down in Ann Arbor, at that CFO meeting, I was, and I told a few people, I was made the chairperson for the advisory council. And the advisory council is kind of like the board of trustees or the board of directors. So I'm the new chair of the board for the coming year. And it's done by a process of prayer and balloting with no talking. Basically, you look at who's eligible by the bylaws to be the chair, and everybody's silent, and they pray, and they write down the name, and the name that comes up most often, you're the chair. That's just the way it is. It's not like you petition, it's not like you get a little speech, it's not like you really get to decline, you're the chair. So I was chosen as the chair. And I burst into tears. Not because I didn't know what would happen. Actually, looking back to that day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I had this really disquiet. I was really anxious in my spirit. I was really disquieted. I had no idea why. So I think God already certainly knew what was going on. But what brought those tears was I knew that I couldn't be the chair of the board on my own strength, which is what I am presently doing in conducting my spiritual life and my life with CFO Camps. As far as CFO goes, lately I have a job and I've done my job, but I've really done more than my job. And I do pray occasionally, but not with discipline and not with focus. And I've left the heavy lifting, if you will, to others, assuming that they would be more faithful than I would in doing the work. That's true confession. So the tears came because I knew that God was going to get serious with me and that I have to get serious with God if I am going to, you know, lead this organization for you. Then I knew God would take this opportunity to get serious with me. In a word, change is coming in my life, and I was kind of weeping tears of repentance and surrender because this is going to be quite a ride. Because I don't share things. If you've noticed, I'm really good at not sharing things. Earl shares things. Jerry shares things. I don't share things. I'm the minister. And that sense of, you know, in order to do this, God's going to have to do some stuff. I was just like, oh my gosh, overwhelmed. Now luckily I did get the tiara that comes with the job, which I'd given to the last chair. So she presented me with the tiara, which was humor, very humor. She's like, don't worry, don't worry. And I really couldn't explain at the moment what the tears were, so they were all a little bit concerned. You know, they were getting a little hyper what that was about, but I knew what that was. And they just love on you until you have words. I had no words. I mean, I just had these tears. And later, I was kind of able to say, okay, this is what's going on. So tears, not only can they be cathartic, they can actually move you in on the next level with God, and that's certainly what's happening in my life. The last little point I want to make, and then we'll finish, is it's curious that Jesus uses this moment with the sinful woman, not to focus, by the way, on the sinful woman. Who does he focus on? Simon. He focuses on Simon. And he uses the woman's tears to teach Simon something about God and about God's grace and about himself. He has this great parable about the debt owed and the love received. And it's certainly a great parable. It's short and sweet. It's something you and I can relate to quite well. I mean, just think about it now. You know, you owe $500,000 to the bank. And your neighbor owes $100. And the bank says, this is your lucky day. We are forgiving all debts today. You know, who's going to love the bank more? I mean, we can all relate to this. Credit card company says, today's your lucky day. Zero balance for everybody. Guy who owes $20,000 on his credit line is really going to be happier than the guy who always pays off his bill. We can relate. And did you notice the double entendre? You have to point this out. Jesus says, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. Think about that. The sinful woman loved much. Jesus knew exactly what he was saying, by the way, with that. I'll let you figure that one out. Could it be that our being human can actually draw other people into the love of God? Could it be that her tears is really what allowed Simon to move to the next level in his walk with the Lord? Some people think that the church, that God and faith and those kinds of things are not for them because this place is full of perfect people. Now, if you look around here, you and I know there's not a perfect person in this room. Sorry, but it's true. But there is this perception that the people that are here somehow have their act together, somehow are more holy, somehow are more perfect. A lot of people see us more like Simon. You know, we love little because we've been forgiven little. There is a temptation sometimes, and I don't think we ever do it consciously, but people often can see those in the church kind of self-righteously. It's easy for us to lose touch with how much we've been forgiven and to live that life of we've been forgiven much. I guess that's what I'm trying to say is we know that we've been forgiven much, but it's important as we live our lives to live as people who know we've been forgiven much and to share that forgiveness with the people that we meet. That people who have been forgiven a lot, like you and I, need to be people who are full of grace as we walk in the world. And oftentimes what happens is the perception of people outside the church is that those people are very judgmental, right? And that we're not very grace-filled, you know? And that we have all these kind of moral standards. And if you don't meet them, then you're not a nice person. That's, of course, not. We know that that's not true. But that's how it's often perceived. So I encourage you to be real in your life. That where there are tears, let there be tears. And I hope that this kind of, this quote-unquote sinful woman can teach us that being real can cause a chain reaction in other people's lives with God. It says, we really are who we are. Then other people can see the grace and receive the grace. That our lives can really lead others to God when we're real. One of the translations for the Beatitudes we did earlier is, how blessed of those who know their need for God. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. How blessed are those who know their need for God. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. I believe that we know that we need God. And let's be a little more transparent as we live our lives. Allow those tears to come. Allow yourself to be emotional. Allow yourself to be full of grace and sharing that grace. Because we can offer that forgiveness and that mercy and that grace to you. Would you join me? Lord God, we thank you for the sinful woman. And we thank you for her tears. We thank you that she was real. Not religious. We thank you that she loved much and showed us how we can love. And God, we thank you for your grace and your forgiveness, that you lavishly and abundantly pour out your forgiveness and your grace. And may we be people who pass that on. May that forgiveness, that mercy, that grace not stop with us, but pass on to those around us. That wherever we are, whatever we're doing, even on some unconscious level, people would know, wow, I've been in a place of grace. I've been in a place where there's mercy. I've been in a place where there's love. I've been in a place where there's hope. God, we think of the many joys and concerns that we've shared today, and we lift them up for your concern, for your consideration. And we want to be your people in the world, kind of meeting these needs and coming alongside. We celebrate with Scott Stevens and his appointment as the new game warden in town. We celebrate with the Western Mountain Church and this new venture as they kind of establish and in your love in Kingfield. We rejoice with Bill and Louise being here. It's always such a treat for us. And that they remind us of the beauty of simple things. And God, as our hearts turn to those who grieve, Erlenbarks and the O'Connors and others in our lives, that you would cover them with your grace. For those who are struggling with health and even fighting for their lives, we think of Doug and little Will. We think of those who are grieving from all that's happening in Arkansas. From those whose livelihoods and lives are being affected by the oil spill, we lift these up to you. These are things far bigger than us, far bigger than anything we can accomplish. But we join you in your care and concern. We think of Michelle's brother-in-law getting ready to leave. May this summer with his family be truly blessed. And we think of Leah with her choir traveling to China. What an opportunity to bring your grace and your love and your hope to people. Gosh, may they just be so many divine appointments. So much joy, even as they meet great challenges in China, which they will. Lord God, may we more and more every day be your people and unite us as one as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I thought we'd just finish our time today with a small chorus. It's I Love You, Lord. It's number 80 in the book. If you think you need to.